Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Man, we're having a great time. Special thanks here to Henry T. Buchanan. Again, jumping on, talking a little Husker hoops. Flipping it up now, man. We're going to talk about cash and tickets. Our guy, Marco D'Angelo, wagertalk.com. Marco, what's going on, my man?
It's a fun time to be a sports fan, sports bettor, college football in the meat of the season, NFL rolling. We got baseball playoffs, hockey just started, NBA will be soon. It's a good time of the year.
I got to ask you before we get started when we're going to pick these games. Hot tub got put in. Is the TV up, and what's the setting like?
Oh, we got the hot tub sitting at 101, and we've been using it just about every day. And it's been cool in Vegas this week, believe it or not. We're getting down into the upper 40s at night.
Ooh, that's what we woke up to this morning. We woke up to like 38 to 40 here in Lincoln.
Yeah, that's not supposed to be Vegas weather.
No, not at all. Not at all. It better not be there when I come in December. It better not.
Speaking of Vegas, Marco, you know, it's been a wild week for the Raiders.
That's putting it one way.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll be discussing that game. While a lot of people are going to, you know, take a knee-jerk reaction, we're going to change gears a little bit there.
Perfect.
All right, man. Well, let's kick it off. We're going to kick it off in the college world. Again, that first game you sent me, you got Air Force going to Boise.
Yeah, guys, if you remember last week, we were on Boise, and so this is a continuation of that play, because for all the reasons we went with Boise last week, we're going against them this week. Boise pulled that big upset over BYU. I mentioned that that was a big revenge game for them. They were embarrassed by BYU the year before, and BYU was coming off a big game, a rivalry game, Friday night TV game, and had Baylor on deck, so it was a great spot for Boise to pull the upset. Well, now they did pull that upset, knocked BYU out of the unbeaten ranks, number 10 in the country last week, and now they're going to take on Air Force. Guys, it is never fun taking on Air Force because you know what's coming. The problem is, you know, it's tough to defend that option. Now, I realize because it's a conference game that Boise sees them every year. You still can't stop it. And when you're coming off a game that you had such a big win the week before, are these guys really going to be focused, practicing and getting ready for that option attack of Air Force? And we know Air Force being a military academy, they bring it every game the same intensity. I like them. They're going to run that football down Boise State's throat 60 to 70 times during this game. And they have shown Boise that they've had problems this year stopping the run. I like Air Force. I'm taking the 4.5. They're going to win this one outright. I got Air Force 28-20.
Yeah! We're talking to Marco D'Angelo. Next game, Marco, we got the Purdue Boilermakers heading to the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, guys, you've heard me talk about sandwich spots over and over again. And in college football, you know, emotion is a big handicapping ingredient. Well, what a game we had last week with Penn State and Iowa. I mean, if you like old school defense, that was it. Now, unfortunately for Penn State, the bad break of losing their quarterback, Sean Clifford. And when we broke that game down, you know, the key to that game I thought was going to be the quarterback play. When you've got two great defenses, you want to look at which offense is going to have, you know, the best opportunity to crack that defense. And I felt that Clifford was the better quarterback. And he was. When he was in the game, before he got hurt, Penn State was winning 17-3. After that, Penn State couldn't move the football at all when he went out of the game, and Iowa was able, you know, not to take anything away from him, their defense played well, but they did it against a backup quarterback that was just set offenses back about 20 years watching him in that game when he came in there. So now you got Iowa escapes with that win. It was a number three versus number four battle. They can't help but have a little bit of a letdown here. Now, I know they're undefeated, and they've got everything in front of them, and they should not have a letdown. But you're coming off of Penn State, and even though the team I'm going to mention next is having a down year, it is still a monster game on your schedule when you've got to go to Wisconsin. And sandwiched between Penn State and going to Wisconsin, in comes a Purdue team that I think Iowa's going to look past. And again, Iowa's got the great defense, but, you know, that offense leaves a little bit to be desired. Purdue has had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And one thing I want to point out about Iowa, as good as they have played, and I don't want to take anything away from them, they have been aided by a very lopsided turnover margin. In the last two games, Iowa has enjoyed a 11-1 turnover edge. That's going to make any team a winner. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to call that Iowa escapes with the win, but this thing's going to be much closer than people think. I'm going to grab the double digits plus 11.5 here, and we're going to call it Iowa 24-20, but Purdue gets the money with the spread.
Yeah! I feel like this next game is kind of similar that we're going to talk about. After Oklahoma and Texas last week, the quarterback stuff going on there. TCU traveling to Oklahoma this week.
Yeah, that's a good thought, talking about, you know, maybe Oklahoma after the come-from-behind victory lays an egg here, but they don't have a look-ahead of game, so we're going to eliminate that because they got Kansas on the schedule next, so there's no look-ahead for Oklahoma. We're going to go a different direction, and we're going to go the total, and I would let you guess again, and you'd be wrong again because you're going to think I'd say we're going over. And we're not. And I know you're going to say, Mark, you know, what are you smoking down there in Vegas? Did you see the game last week? It was 55-48, and you're talking about taking an under. And, oh, by the way, TCU, what was their score last week against Texas Tech? 52-31. Yeah, good luck with that under. Well, I'll tell you why we're going with the under. Prior to last week's shootout, Oklahoma's defense, forget the first game of the season when they played Tulane. Since then, that defense was solid. They pitched a shutout against Western Carolina, big deal. But they held Nebraska to 16, West Virginia to 13. Then they did give up 31 to Kansas State. But if you remember in that game, seven of those points came in the final minute of the game when Oklahoma punched a score in and then kicked off, and Kansas State ran the kickoff back for a touchdown. This defense, for most of the season, has been tough. Now, everybody's looking at that quarterback that came in the second half, Caleb Williams, and, you know, he lit everything up. Well, he was a totally different style of quarterback than Shane Rattler. He is a dual-threat quarterback. He can throw the football. He can run the football. He had 88 yards rushing in that second half against Texas. Texas didn't have a game plan prepared for him, and he had success. This week, TCU will have a game plan for Caleb Williams, who will be starting instead of Shane Rattler, and they will be better prepared. Also, the fact that Oklahoma had to throw the football so much in the second half because they were down 18 points. They'll go back to normal Oklahoma football. Yes, they'll pass the football a little more than they were earlier in the season, but he's not going to have the success that he had last week. And Oklahoma will play the game when they have the lead. They will milk some of the clock with that running game that has been solid all year for them as well. And we see that defense take over. 65 is too high for this game. I'm taking it under the total. Yeah, you're going to have to hold your breath when you take the total here. But Oklahoma gets the win, but I'm not laying the points or taking the points. I'm going to go under 65. I am projecting 59 or fewer points in this one. Take the under.
Yeah!
We're talking to Mark D'Angelo with WagerTalk.com. One more college game, Marco. We got Nebraska heading to Minnesota.
Guys, this one hurt last week.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We were on Nebraska big time last week. And I, you know, other than the slow start, you know, get behind 13-0, Nebraska did everything in this game that would should have resulted in a win. The way they lost this game at the end, that's going to be the basis for this week's handicap. And this is a lesson about college football, because you're dealing with kids that, you know, are, you know, 20 to 22 years old. You've got to deal with emotion. You've got to, you know, you got the highs and lows of college football. On paper, Nebraska is supposed to win this game by a touchdown or more. There's just no question about it. But I just can't get past the fact that the last four games, they've had three monster games on their schedule. You have the Oklahoma game. Then you come back the very next week and go on the road at Michigan State. Then you had the laugh or big blowout over Northwestern. And then last week, you know, the game, the biggest game for them in the Big Ten this year, Michigan comes into their building undefeated. You know, I told you I was going to be on them 2 weeks in advance of that game. And you lose three out of those four games, but it's the fashion in which you lost those three games. If Scott Frost can get this team motivated this week and focused and not feeling sorry for themselves, that will be one hell of a coaching job. I just don't see it happening. I hate to do it to you guys, but just on emotion and the schedule and the way they lost last week, I'm looking for a flat effort out of Nebraska here. If they played Minnesota 10 times, they're going to beat them 8 out of 10. This is just one of those two spots where, as a professional handicapper, I've seen it happen too often. I'm going to go ahead and call for Minnesota. Mild upset, 21-20.
Yeah.
There it is. Just to recap, Marco is taking Air Force plus the points, Purdue plus the points. He's taking the under 65 in the TCU-Oklahoma game, and he's taking Minnesota plus the points. Let's get to some NFL.
Let's just move on. Boy, Will brought this up earlier, right at the top of our segment here. That game, you've got the Raiders and the Broncos.
Yeah, guys, you look at this one, and let's talk about Joe Public that's out there. Everybody has seen what happened this week. Everybody knows the story, and they're going to say, what a distraction. How can the Raiders possibly be prepared mentally to play a game this week? Well, guys, I'm going a different route there. And you know how we talk about we use the injured player theory, how I say when a star's out, the rest of the team rallies around. They play at a higher intensity level. There's generally an overreaction with the line, because the public's going to go the other way, and the team ends up, you know, covering the spread. I'm going to go the same scenario with this. He's not a player, but it's a key part of this team, and now he's gone. Okay, the team has one thing to do. They can roll up in a ball and, you know, go in the fetal position in the corner, or they can come out swinging. And the best thing for this team is to come out swinging, and I think it's a benefit for them to actually be playing on the road this week than at home. You get away from your local media with a microphone in your face, you know, 24/7. Go focus on playing football. That's what you get paid to do. And I think this team is going to put forth a good effort. I think now in retrospect, the Chicago game last week and the bad effort that they had last week, that was the result of this. I think they knew what was coming. Things were starting to leak out Friday. They, you know, were trying to put, you know, the finger in the dam leak there to, you know, stop the bleeding. It couldn't happen. Mark Davis had no choice on Monday when Moore came out. He had to make the call. And yes, John Gruden technically resigned, but we know that, you know, that's the old, you know, polite way of, you know, not saying you're fired, so you resigned on your own. I think the Raiders go in there and do it. The Broncos, since the 3-0 start, and yes, that 3-0 start was against teams that were 0-9, they are now 0-2, and they got beat by my Pittsburgh Steelers last week. That we've talked about how bad the Steelers have been all year. I just can't back the Broncos laying points right now. Teddy Bridgewater last week didn't look good. Now, granted, it was against the Steeler defense, but you know, the concussion the week before, he was, you know, not announced till late in the week that he was going to start. I don't think he's 100%. I'll go ahead and take the Raider offense, which is more explosive in my opinion, and playing with the added value of, I think, a little bit of an inflated line here, I'm going to call for the Raiders, 24-21.
Yeah!
We're talking to Marco D'Angelo. Moving on, Marco, we got the Cincinnati Bengals heading to the Detroit Lions.
Well, guys, you talk about situations, and the situation here, this is what I like to refer to as a sandwich spot for Cincinnati. They played their guts out last week. And they should have won that game. They were getting three. They got the push on the game. I was on them last week, full disclosure, and that was another one of the gut punch games last week for me with all of the missed field goals in that game, a missed extra point by Green Bay that would have avoided this game even getting to overtime. Not only did I have to have Green Bay missed that extra point, but I had to have Cincinnati on a later touchdown, then complete a two-point conversion to get us to the point that we were in overtime and get the push. To lose that game for Cincinnati as a young team and now have to turn around and go on the road and lay points, I don't care that the Lions are winless this season, okay, and that the Lions have been a joke in the NFL for how long since they've had a winning season. You can't lay points with Cincinnati yet at this stage on the road. Also, the fact that they're coming off Green Bay in their building and then next week play division rival Baltimore, this is a perfect sandwich spot, flat spot, look-ahead spot, whatever metaphor you want to use in handicapping to go against Cincinnati. And then let's look at the Lions. They're winless on the season. And I will point out that they have a major, major game next week. Jared Goff goes back to L.A. next week. Okay, that's a big game for him. And the Lions get to face their former quarterback, Matthew Stafford. No question that normally that would be a look-ahead of spot. But when you're winless on the season, you're not looking past anybody. Okay? So we're going to eliminate that part of it. In Cincinnati, back to laying points on the road, four of their five games this season have been decided by 3 points. They're laying 3.5 on the road. I can't do it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take the Lions. We're going to call for their first win of the season, 27-26, and hopefully it's not another last-second field goal that beats them. But you know what? If it is, I don't care. I'm getting 3.5.
Yep. Love it.
The old half-click, baby, the old half-click. I really like this next game. You got the 5-0 Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray in that offense headed to the Browns. Baker Mayfield managing that team to a 3-2 start.
Yeah, guys, for my clients last week, it was a 6-4-1 week. So we came out of the week profitable. But I want to tell you something. Three of the four losses that I had, the only bad play we had, we got blown out in the LSU game. But the other three losses were Nebraska on Saturday night, the game that we just talked about with Cincinnati. And then I had the Cleveland Browns. Well, we got the push with Cleveland, or Cincy. Then we had the Cleveland Browns, who led the entire ball game until they literally picked up the L.A. Charger running back and carried him into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown because there was a minute left in the game, and he was trying to go down before the goal line so they could run the clock out and just kick the field goal. And the only chance the Browns would have would be to let them score and get the ball back and go down and score a touchdown of their own. That was the thinking. Apparently, they did not watch kickers kicking extra points last week, and that would not have been an automatic that they would have kicked the field goal for the win, but it cost me a win. Cleveland's offense is great, okay? When the running game is working, the passing game is just that much better because Baker Mayfield does so much off of play action in that offense, and the defense has got to respect the run. Well, that running game is the key to this week's game against Arizona. Arizona's 5-0, but Arizona cannot stop the run. They're allowing 5.4 yards per carry, and they're ranked 28th in the league at stopping the run. Cleveland will dominate this game at the line of scrimmage. And as far as Arizona goes, after beating their two of their rivals in back-to-back weeks, playing the Rams and then playing the 49ers. This is a great spot to fade Arizona, even though they're undefeated. I'm going to go ahead and lay the field goal on the road. Cleveland gets it 30-20.
Next game, Marco. Last game, we got the Kansas City Chiefs heading to the Washington football team.
Yeah, guys, if you remember a couple weeks ago when Kansas City went to Philadelphia, I'm going to go with almost my exact same breakdown as I did there. We know the Kansas City offense is great. The Kansas City defense is horrible. They're ranked 32nd in the league. 32nd in yards per play, the 32nd points allowed, all of that. We know that narrative. Here's where this game becomes interesting. The Washington Redskins entering this season, everybody talked about that front seven. You know, you got Chase Young and everything else and how good that defense was going to be. Well, do you know who is the second worst team in points allowed this season in the NFL? That is the Washington Redskins. They have been getting lit up every week. They gave up 33 last week to Jameis Winston, 30 to Matt Ryan, 43 to the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, and it goes on. 29 to the Giants. How do you give up 29 to the Giants? Okay, their defense is as bad as Kansas City's. So where's the edge in this game? There's no comparison with the offenses. Kansas City's offense can go up and down the field. Washington's cannot. You give me Mahomes over Heinicke, I'll take that matchup all day long. And as we said in that Philadelphia game 2 weeks ago, too often Washington's going to march down the field, but the drive is going to end in a field goal, whereas Kansas City's will end in touchdowns and you'll start to get separation. I never like to lay points with a team that's got a bad defense like Kansas City's does, but there's such a huge edge on the offensive side of the football. I'll go ahead. I'll take Kansas City. We'll lay the points here. I've got Kansas City winning this one by 10 or more points. And once again, you know, it's going to be a high-scoring game. That's what they're. That's going to be the MO this year. Let's go ahead and call it 41-28. Let's take it, Kansas City.
Yeah! Hey, Mark, I wanted to ask you, a lot of people do this early in the season. They go out and try to get tickets put on Super Bowl winners, right? Try to predict it so early. Is there a right or wrong time if people are going to jump in? Because, like, right now, when you look at it, because that thing's evolving all the time. Right now, I think I want to say, like Buffalo is the favorite.
Yeah, and it's going to change throughout the season. I can tell you for most of the instances, when you're playing these futures, because they take such a hold, the books, it's really not the greatest play. Mm-hmm. And they're holding your money for basically, you know, 4 or 5 months. Now, when you do it in season, like now, you know, we're into, you know, 6 weeks of the season, so they're not going to hold your money as long, but you're still going to end up with, it's not a big return. Unless you're getting something where you're finding a team where you think, hey, this team's flying under the radar, and I'm getting 15 or 20 to 1 on a wager, you're generally better off when you get to the playoffs just doing a money line parlay on a team that you like. If they're not the favorite, because you never want to play the favorite on the futures bet. There's just no money there for you to do that. For them to hold your money for 4 months and you just double your money. Okay, that's not what you want. You want the payday. But if you like an underdog, generally speaking, if you bet that team on a money line parlay and just keep rolling it over every week, that if they do win the Super Bowl after winning their couple playoff games and then the Super Bowl as well, it returns more than what that futures bet would have been at 12-1, 15-1, whatever you bought that ticket in the middle of the season. And then you don't have the risk of that, as well as if you like a team right now. How many times have we seen this happen? Everything's rolling. You got somebody that's a sleeper. You got a nice price on your ticket, and the quarterback gets hurt.
Yep. You talk about nice prices, Marco. I was able to get the Giants at plus 900 to win the series, so I'll be sweating it out tonight.
And what? I mean, This should have been a 7-game series. It's a shame that we're getting cheated and this round is a 5-game series, because if there, you know, if there's two teams that have battled all season long, and there's one game that separates them on the entire season, and it comes down to this one, this is what it's all about. This is the best time of the year. And just a little hint, I will be rooting for your Giants bet tonight.
All right.
Ooh, there you go, baby. There you go. Marco, again, tell everybody where they can find all the great stuff you guys put out.
Well, head over to wagertalk.com. A lot of free information over there for you guys. A lot of videos from the different cappers breaking down the games. And then if you want to enjoy fun and entertaining, informative show, I would highly recommend the College and Pro editions of Bet On It with yours truly, my buddy VR, and, of course, the Kelly in Vegas.
Yes, sir. Marco, you're the man. We appreciate you, man. Have a great rest of your week and weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Marco D'Angelo, wagertalk.com right there. There you are. We'll get Marco's picks on what he did today for us. We'll get him up on Twitter, and you'll be able to take a peek at those. And if you feel the need and or want to, dabble in it.
His upset. I would love to see his upset numbers so far this season. I mean, he's picking a few good upsets each week. He had Boise last week.
Yeah, he's been on those for sure.
He had Stanford the week before. He's had some good upset picks this year.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, let's take another break. When we come back, Will and I are going to talk about Thursday night football. Tonight we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles.